There'll be no tears. Feel our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of His grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like my home to me. Let's sing it now. That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears. Feel our eyes again. The hills will echo. Amen. After what we heard last night, we ought to be running 900 mile an hour. Don't face Him as a beggar. Don't face Him as a bum. You're a son or daughter of the Most High King. Do you love Him with all your heart this morning? Are you glad He chose you? Are you glad you was handpicked? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a real big hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God today.
They say there's mansions there inside the city. A crystal river flowing by the tree of life. Disappointments ever come there, and Jesus Christ, our God, will be the light.
That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to dim our eyes again. The Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I sent Brother Donnie a text last night, and I just say it publicly this morning. In the history of preaching, that probably was the best message I ever heard in my life. what it meant to me personally. To know I'm not a beggar. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a peasant. I'm a king's son. How about you this morning? You're a king's child? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. You've been handpicked by the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory to live here in this time, to believe this message, to go in a rapture. You was handpicked. Now you tell me that somebody don't love you bigger than yourself. You tell me somebody don't love you better than your mama, your daddy. Because this man done something for you that nobody else could do. He's given you a home for eternity. Do you love him with all your heart? Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise. Oh, somewhere just across that Jordan River, we got a home waiting on us. There's a place of everlasting joy and peace.
The tree of life is blooming there forever. And a crown of life is waiting there for me.
Oh, sing it.
That sounds like home to me.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Brother Randall, if you get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Amos sends us in to remember a brother in Canada with tumors on his brain. Brother's name is Bruce. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request as we pray today. We'll remember Sister Alice Horn in prayer this morning, not feeling well. Brother Terry sends that in. I want to pray for Sister Deanna. She's home, not feeling well. Brother Jerry sends that in this morning. Let's remember that. I want to pray for Brother Gene, Sister Janet Lehman, at home, not feeling well today. Unspoken prayer request for something financial. Brother Carter Lawson sends that in. Brother Randy Scott sends this in. There's a family there that has a little pet. Think somebody may have poisoned it. They're just clinging to life. They're asking that we would pray over that need today. Please pray for Brother Jerry, Sister Linda Phillips, not feeling well. We'll commit that to the Lord. And Brother or Sister Tammy Dixon, Sister, please keep my mother in prayer in the hospital with possible heart attack. So let's remember that need as we pray today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, you believe God's able? Is he bigger? He's bigger. Somebody say he's bigger. Let's stand this morning. Brother Randall, come lead us to the Lord. Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. We know he's more than able to meet every need among us today. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
We get to go to church, Brother Terry. If the word gets any better, we're not going to be able to stand it. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Our lovely Lord Jesus, we bow our heads in your presence this morning, Lord, thanking you for your love to us, Lord, for your amazing grace, Lord, for the privilege it is to be in your house this morning, Lord. We're such a blessed people, Lord. I hope we realize it. Thank you for loving us, Lord, for caring for us, for guiding us, for guarding us, Lord, for protecting us, Lord, for bringing us to your house on this resurrection morning, Lord. Worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Together our little licks of fire together with your people, Lord. I bring the needs that were spoken this morning before you, Lord. Brother Louis led, Lord, that I hold in my hand, Lord. I know you're mindful of each and every one, Lord. Would you just stretch forth your hand, Lord, and touch your people, Lord. Meet every need, Lord. Touch every heart in this place this morning, Lord. May we hear from you this morning in a special way, Lord. And Brother Donnie, Lord, may he get himself out of the way, Lord. May you just take over the vessel, Lord, and speak to your people, Lord, in a special way, Lord. We're waiting to hear from you, Lord. Our hearts are prepared, Lord. We're so in anticipation of what you're going to speak to us this morning. We thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord, and your amazing grace to us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service today, we certainly want to say that we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Know that a lot of people count on these services, and it's their church service because they don't get to go to a church. So we want to do our part to make this service enjoyable for them folks as well, right?
Amen.
Amen. I want to welcome somebody home this morning. Been in Japan for, I believe, about 6 months, and he got to come home, and I know that his mother and father and his family are just so happy to have him back home. I understand that this is Brother Hunter Ward that's back home. Brother Hunter, where are you at? Would you raise your hand? Give him a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Brother Rocky Ward texted me this morning and said that they got to go see Sister Sharon last night, and it just absolutely brightened her day up beyond words. So you done good. You was good medicine, and we're certainly glad to have you back home. We love that guy right there. And by the way, thank you for serving this country. All of our veterans, all of our service people, let's give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a song this morning. I abused that guy right there a few weeks back. I made him sing when he had a bad throat, and it come home to roost on me. So you want to be careful how you treat people, because things do have a way of coming back around. But you're a little bit better, so you got to sing again this morning. So if a double jeopardy hits me again, then you might say I have learned my lesson. But it's so good to be in the house of God. Whether you're up here, whether you're back yonder, it don't matter where you're at, as long as you get to be here in the house of God to enjoy the word of the Lord. It's the best, it's the highlight of our life. Somebody say hallelujah. Give him one more hand, clap of praise. I held on, brothers. Let's see if we can find that this morning. See if we can sing that song, if you will, Brother Harry. Aren't you glad there's something in you that causes you to want to hold on? Amen.
See, I think, I'm not sure. We'll try it.
You ask me how it is that I'm still standing.
Play the song.
You wonder how I made it through the storm.
Oh, yes.
I can't boast of any special power.
No, sir.
It's no secret. I just held on.
And I held on till the storm was over. I don't claim to be a hero. And I don't have all the answers.
I held on. The storm was over.
Not because I'm good, not because,
not because
I'm great,
I'm
not because
strong.
I'm strong, but I held on.
I can tell that things are finally happening.
Thank you, Lord.
I've got blessings I
song, children.
Can call my own. Many times I wonder if I
I held on till the storm was over. Not because I'm good, not because I'm strong, not because I'm strong, but I held on. Sing the second verse.
Things are finally happening. I've got blessings I can call my very own. Many times I wonder if I will make it.
Will I be able to make it?
While I was wondering, my seed
just held on. I held on till the storm was over.
Brother John Cogman, are you here at the service? Is that you back there this morning? Come on up, get ready to give us a song. We're going to learn a little song this morning, or we're going to try. It's very simple. We don't have the words on the board yet, but those guys can get them up real quick. Maybe not today, but just as soon as they can. But it's just a real simple song. It says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. That's a good way to wake up, isn't it? How many of you go to bed of a night with just a prayer on your heart, just something in your mind that you're just thanking the Lord and just pray? Not every night maybe, but most of the time you just go to bed with thanksgiving or a request in your heart. It's good to go to bed like that. And it's good to wake up like that with your mind stayed on Jesus. Now guys, don't mess me up. We went over this about twice and don't mess me up. I won't mess you up. I'll try not to. But give me the key back, Brother Larry. All these guys, I don't worry about them messing anybody up. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm walking and I'm talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm walking and I'm talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm walking and I'm talking. Stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm thinking and I'm praising with my mind.
Stayed on Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind talking with our mind. Stayed on Jesus.
Yes, we're walking and we're talking with our mind.
Keep it stayed on Jesus.
Yes, we're walking and we're talking with our mind.
Oh, stay, stay.
I'm thinking and I'm praising with my mind.
Stayed on Jesus.
Well, we're thinking and we're praising with our minds.
Stayed on Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Yes, I woke up this morning with my mind.
Stayed on Jesus.
Well, I woke up this morning and my mind
stayed on Jesus.
Well, I woke up this morning with my mind.
Oh, stayed on Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
A big hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart.
Amen. My mind is made up. Thank you, brother. I want Lorian to sing a song that she wrote. This was from a sermon that she heard, and it was drawing some parallels between Judas and Jesus. And I know that's kind of hard. It takes a whole sermon to do that. But you know, Judas, he was most people think he was a zealot just based on the name Iscariot. It means the dagger man, a sect of the zealots, like Simon the Zealot was. And you know what? His hope was in an earthly kingdom. And when he finally, that didn't pan out and he hung himself on a tree, his hope died for the last time. But our hope in Christ is not for an earthly kingdom. It's for a heavenly kingdom. And when Christ died upon that tree, our hope died for the last time too. And he rose from the grave, and our hope eternally rests in him, and our hope never has to die again. This is called For the Last Time.
offered life to free the ones who had done him wrong. Nothing left but one breath, a cry of pain, then death. They deny that he's the only one who can save their soul. Change everything. He won't cry for mercy. He's breaking with the way of the sin he bears, and a hope dies
for the last time.
This soul descends, and a hope dies
for the last time.
His soul rises, and hope dies
for the last time.
Oh, this is the beginning of life, and hope dies
for the last time.
His soul rises.
Song this morning. Let's stand. It's time to go on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. How many of you appreciate your pastor? Amen. You really appreciate what God's given us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I believe Brother Donnie enjoyed preaching that last night as much as we enjoyed listening to it. It was just really, really wonderful. And praise the Lord for the truth. Do you praise God for the truth? Let's sing this little chorus together as he gets ready to come this morning. Something keeps holding me. Are you glad for that something? Are you glad about it? Let's see if we can sing it this morning. Something keeps holding me every day I see, helping me faithfully overcome my trials.
Guiding me constantly.
Hallelujah.
Giving me victory.
Yes, it's a reality. Jesus is holy. Time.
Something keeps holding me every day I see,
helping me faithfully to overcome all.
For that something. That something is someone. I trust y'all know his name. Isn't he wonderful? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 4. Isaiah 45, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah 65:9. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Verse 22, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Matthew 24:31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Let's look at the word elect, the Greek word in the New Testament that is used, ekletos. Picked out, chosen by God. Select, the best of its kind or class. Excellence, preeminent, applied to certain individual Christians. Now remember, you don't want to go to some theological dictionary or to Webster dictionary to find the meanings of these words. You've got to go to the language that it was written in. Let me read this again. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Who? His elect. His elect. From the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Again, it means picked out, chosen by God. Choice, select, the best of its kind or class. Excellence, preeminent, applied to certain individual Christians. I tell you one thing, I've been blessed by the meaning of this word. We can go home. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your words are just so wonderful. They are so wonderful. Thank you, Father. We love you so much today. We realize that your grace, Lord Jesus, that has called us to yourself. We're asking, Lord, that you would take your word once again and make it more real to our hearts than it was when we came in these doors. Father, we don't want just our intellect to be polished a little more and learn a few more meanings of words and maybe how to pronounce certain things and put our syllables together and the pronunciation of our words. But what we desire is for you to take the word and make our hearts the fallow ground, that the word can fall into that fallow ground and it can bring forth a manifestation of your thoughts for this day. Heavenly Father, you see this prayer cloth that I have in my hand. I pray, dear God, for the needs of these people. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you that you would just help them. Anoint me as I speak today. May the anointing be upon the people, Lord. We look for you to come in a mighty way among us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me read to you also from Lean Not to Your Own Understanding. So you see, if you were in the foreknowledge of God, then you are becoming a part of God. And the only way that you can be a son of God or a daughter of God, you had to be a part of God. And God isn't complete without you. God isn't complete without you. In one sense of the word, couldn't that be said about you and your children? Now, before you fathers and mothers brought children into the earth, you had your identity as husband and wife, and you had what you termed was a family. And it was, in a sense, but it was a family with no progeny. Or no mixing together of your two genos to make children. Once the chromosomes was mixed from the mother with the father, 23 of each, coming together in the embryonic stage, and then you have this beginning of a child. Already the traits and the attributes, the DNA, the mixing of the chromosomes, the blood, the genetic code, all that is going on inside the mother's body to map out this child that is being formed. When this child is brought into the earth and begins to live, begins to move and breathe and takes on a similarity, a likeness of you and of her, you notice its hands may be shaped sort of like yours, and its eyes, the slant of its eyes may be like her mother. Its forehead protruding out, maybe like a grandfather. Its cheekbones, the way they rise to a certain level, either the pointing or the rounding of the chin. And you look in your family and you can see the culmination of several generations as it shows up in that child. And you begin to love that child. And that child yet doesn't really even know how to love you other than just its spirit, because it can't say it yet. But it has a human spirit, and the spirit has the ability to attach to love. And that child begins to express that, and it'll smile at you and reach out its little tiny hand and go to grabbing a hold of your finger like that. This is the child's spirit communicating in the best way that the child knows how to do it, without articulating the expression of words. So the child is feeling this and having heard, of course, the mother's voice all of these many, many months whenever the mother's carried it. There will be a certain affinity that will go toward the mother quicker than the father or brothers or grandmother or grandfather. And whenever it becomes older and older, and it becomes to where it can be able to really love and understand, then you look back and you think, you look at you and your wife, and you think how happy you were together. And then you wonder, how would we have this happiness without little Junior here, or little Susie, or little whoever she was? And then your understanding and your comprehension of what a family is has become expanded, while this attribute has become now manifest in your home. And you look at each other and you look at it, and oh, you're just so happy. And you begin to think, well, maybe we would want more. Maybe we would want a little girl if you had a boy. Or maybe we'd want a little boy if you had a girl. And you begin to think, maybe we would want more than one child. I've never thought I would really want more than one, but maybe we would. What is it? You're expanding your own abilities. You're expanding your love, and you're expanding your perception of what you thought that a family was about. Maybe you heard other people in that crying young ones, and you thought, I'll never have a baby around our house. There ain't no way in the world. It takes your sleep. It robs you of this and that and the other. But once you have them, if you're really a right loving mother and father, you're smitten. Just say the truth. You're smitten. And then you think, how could you live without them? Now, if we would be able to venture this morning now, what I've described to you for just a few moments has been in a declaration of time, which we all can relate to a certain degree. But if I would be able by the Spirit of God to go back before time ever began, before there was any molecules, any time, any science, any atoms, anything really that was brought into existence by creation, what we would find is this great eternal being who's not yet even God, but he's known by the identification of the eternal. He's not yet brought anything into existence. So there's no light around him. There's no matter. There's no time. There's no substance in the sense of the way that we know substance. And all we know is just this great eternal being. He doesn't have hands quite exactly like ours. He doesn't have eyes quite exactly like ours, and facial features quite exactly as we know them. But he is the eternal. But in him, he has attributes. And these attributes are the things that he desires to become. And he is the fountain of everything that is pure and holy and righteous and godly. And yet he desires to express all of this that he is. And he begins to think about himself becoming tangible. As a matter of fact, the prophet tells us in 1964, the whole thing is God becoming tangible, thinking of himself becoming in a material form. He loved fatherhood, so in order to become a father, he first had to become a son. in order to reveal himself. Now, not son in the way that you and I think of son. We think of son of God in the New Testament. He's thought as son in the form of attribute being expressed in the form of logos. That is the first expression of the son, which, as I quoted to you last night, is actually the second attribute of the Godhead expressed in the form of Elohim. Now, in this, he wanted to become material, but he didn't want to become material just in his own sense, that he would express all that he was as far as Father, Son, Savior, Redeemer, El Shaddai, all those great names. But he thought of himself in a multiplied form, in the form of a family. But it was him nonetheless. So he wanted to reveal himself in the form of sons and daughters. Now, this is where people get messed up when it comes to foreknowledge, predestination, election, choosing, foreknew, foreknow, all those forms of the words there, is that they feel like that God is looking at human beings are all exactly the same. And then God, at whatever would move upon him at random will or whatever more that he handpicks, you can, you can't, you can, you can't, you can, you can't. And then they look at it in their mind and they say, you know what? That's not just. It's not just for God to do it that way. Well, I look at God totally different. I figure that I'm an absolute, pretty much imbecile, idiot, stupidity is my family name or should be. So I don't figure I've got enough sense to tell God who or what to do in anything that he does. I'm not as smart, apparently, as some of you all think you all are, where you figure you can tell God how he ought to run his business. Well, actually, the truth of it is, I don't think you're as smart as I am, because I got enough sense to know I don't know the first thing on telling how God to run his business. So I figure that he knows a lot better than you and I do or ever will know. But in the sense of the way that people look at it, I could see where the people would think that it is unjust. But in the sense of the way it really is. Now, this is a part, of course, that Calvin could not comprehend. It was not his time. This is the part that Luther could not comprehend, or the Arminians could not comprehend. It was reserved in the last day for the rapture age people. Because it is something in this element of tying us back to where we come from that will, with the rest of the mysteries that will be restored at the revealing of the voice of God in the last days, that will help us see who we truly are. So instead of God picking this mortal, that one, that one, that one, we first have to go back then before when he reveals himself in time when he is the eternal, and he begins to think of what he wants to become. He wants to become tangible and informed to be loved. Now, with this much love, what good does it do if you don't express it? With this much life and light and goodness and mercy, what good does it do to have it all and keep it within yourself? So he wants to express it. So he chooses to express it in a certain form and a manner. Now remember, God doesn't do things just sporadically and just say, well, you know, whatever more, just do it this way. He thinks it all through and he knows that it's absolutely perfect. And remember, he has never had a new thought in his existence. Oh my. He's never had a new thought. So nothing surprises him. Nothing overwhelms him. Nothing takes him by all of a sudden like it does you and I. So in that form, it's very hard for us, of course, to be able to relate to such a being. But he wanted to become in this multiplied form, how that he would express himself. And he chose to do it in the form of condescension. Now there's nothing, he can go no greater. He can go no higher. He can go no wider. He can go, there's no way for him to go except through condescension. So greatness is expressed through humility or condescension. He must condescend in order to express himself, because if he hadn't, even the elect would not have been able to comprehend it. Now, can you imagine a being so great that those of his own kind would totally be blinded if he did not go beneath himself as far as who he was? You're talking about a great, mighty Father. So he begins to form himself towards flesh. Now, in this forming of himself towards flesh, he does not immediately go from this great eternal into a human being personified in flesh. But he starts in the way of condescension. Now, it is a step or a progress which will come down, and progression to God is not always going up, but for many times for God, it is going down. So he starts this initial descent as God is coming down. And to become into that form to where he would be able to be worshipped and loved and condescended. He starts bringing himself down so that he could have somebody to love him. Because there was no one like him. And nobody else there was him. So in order to be touched, he must humble himself. In order to be felt, in order to be praised, he must make creatures that are like him, yet so far beneath him. Because he wanted to be loved. He wanted to be held. He wanted to be adored. And there was no one up there in the room where he was. Help me, Lord. So he starts his plan of condescension. He comes from the great eternal and he began to express himself in the form of Logos. The Logos, which is the eternal made manifest in what we would call an expression of time. In a form that will start the condescension that will ultimately lead to his family. Now in this, he comes in his own deity being expressed. But he also comes to express those attributes which will later be revealed in their own bodies. They will become later humans and then they'll come back in the glorified state. He does not first express them from the eternal into the form of theophany and then allow them to condescend to humans, but he bypasses their theophany and allows them to come in the form of human beings. And they will look like other humans. They will be born like other humans. Yes. Think about it. But there will be something in them that is not human at all. They won't even know it. It'll take many of them years before they'll even be able to admit that it was there. But the important part is, he knew it was there. He doesn't let his plans out forthwith just immediately. But he begins to slowly unveil, and we don't know exactly how long it was from the stage of when he began to proclaim his purpose and motive and objective until it moves into the state of the Logos. Millions, trillions, who knows, of years as far as the way we would measure. But once it breaks down into what we know as time, then he begins to create. And when he does, he creates not human beings. He doesn't begin in unveiling his creation in the form of humans. But the first thing that he created was angels. Then they begin to worship him. And then the prophet says, I think he says the first thing that God made was, he said, I believe was angels. And then they worshiped him and then he became God. Now he chose to come from the eternal to the form of Logos, which he overshadowed and put all the fullness of the Godhead into that form of the Logos. And that attribute would be everything that he would ever be in time. And that it would choose to reveal himself in the form of a human being later. He would choose manifestations of a pillar of fire and a cloud and a bush. But those would only be temporary residences by which the eternal would express himself. He would appear and disappear and appear in another form and disappear. But the greatness of what he was still in the future to be revealed. The mystery was not unfolded as soon as the Logos came into existence and the pillar of fire began to burn as it was around the Father's door. It was still going to be slowly unfolded. It would take centuries. It would take many, many thousands of years for it to arrive to where it is today. Oh, think of where we sat. Think of where we sat right here this morning in the presence of the Almighty God. Each of you that hold within your heart an expression of the attribute of the eternal. He has been eons of ages waiting for this hour to arrive. But we are here. Hallelujah. You see, for those who look at election and predestination as if it is only more mere mortals being chosen and selected from amongst other mere mortals, they miss this from the eternal. And you can see why the people could not comprehend it. It was not given until this time. Another reason why we needed a prophet and not a theologian. Theologians don't think this way. But we needed a prophet that would come and bring us not just more scriptures. We didn't need another Bible. We didn't need another version of the Bible. But we needed eyes to help us understand what the Bible has been saying all along. We needed prophetic eyes to be able to look into the passages of Scripture and unveil the mystery not only of who he was, but who we are in him. As the eternal begins to reveal himself and the mystery comes slowly, a little bit more slowly unveiled, and then we can see that God, as he allows, it was as if though he was learning more. Of course, we know that he doesn't learn anymore, but he was allowing this to be revealed in stages as if it was a spiritual evolution. It was evolving from what he was into what he wanted to become. And as he began to do this, and more of his attributes were expressed down through the ages. Now, here we are at the end, and we're able to look back, and looking back this way, it makes more sense to us than naturally it would in the days of Luther or Wesley, or in the days when they tried to comprehend such a thing. And thinking that the grace of God has anointed us to be able to come, that we now, if we have eternal life, we are that attribute expressed in human form that came from the eternal when the eternal chose to express it in the form of the Logos. You were there in him then. You do not remember it, nor do I remember it, because our senses have been darkened to the thought that we existed before in the mind of God. And somehow or another, I don't know exactly how, but according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, if we know if we have to leave this house, we have our earthly tabernacle, which was eternal in the heavens. It was not made in time. Your theophany was not born of a woman. Your theophany was not formed or fathered by an earthly father. But it came from eternal, hallelujah. It came from the eternal, and it itself is identified as being eternal. And as I said last night, God is not going through humanity and picking this one and picking that one. What God is doing is separating the two books of life. God is separating the Lamb's book of life, people, from the book of life, people. Hallelujah. And the Lamb's book of life, people, are not any different human-wise than other humans are. But what makes them different is because they were part of those attributes that was in him before the world ever began. It's not your choice. It's not your works. It is his grace and mercy which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And the only way you can be a son of God or a daughter of God, you had to be a part of God. And God isn't complete without you. Now this to me throws a complete different light on foreknowledge and predestination. Amen. That it does not make it that God saw your choice and then God made his choice based on yours. But to me, this puts it right back to where the source of this is from the eternal himself. Not worried just by foreknowledge or human selection. Then it means that what God is selecting is people or attributes other than his own that are not a part of his own being. They're not a part of himself. But if those genes of God are eternal with him, then you can see why he is not complete without you. Heaven, listen to me. Heaven would not be heaven without you. The Garden of Eden. And the word Eden means pleasure. The Garden of Eden was no longer the Garden of Eden with Adam up there. Why? Adam and Eve were a part of God. And this is how much I believe your choice has a sway over the sovereignty of God. Your choice to choose God has just as much effect as Adam's did. Your choice, choosing God to be your father, is just as powerful as Adam's was. Did Adam choose God to be his father? Adam was a direct descendant from God. Now, Adam did have a choice. He chose to leave the word. That's what your free moral agency does for you. We choose to go to church, not go to church. We choose to live right or don't live right. That's what our free moral agency does. You can say what you want to. I'm sure glad God didn't leave my choice up to me. Ain't no telling what out of church. Praise the Lord. Friends, the sovereignty and the predestination of God was contrary to my nature. I didn't want it. What makes you want it, Brother Dale, is that little speck, that attribute of God. That's why God's not complete without you. Is that this? No, God's complete without this. God don't need this. This is born in sin. But if you and I are attributes of God, he is not complete. Why? That's him expressed in another human form. God isn't complete without you. It has to be. That's right, because there's one source, only one source of eternal life, and that is God, and him alone has eternal life now. And you were a part of him in so much that you're an attribute. Or in his thinking at the beginning. And because he thought of you at the beginning, it gives that little tug towards him. That you thought was you. That you thought was you making that choice. It was him. It was him giving you that little tug. What was it? That attribute that was in the eternal. That's what has to be quickened. Some of them will never be quickened. They just don't have it. The Easter seal. When the Holy Spirit came and you're on earth, walking around here as a sinner. As a sinner. Way down in your life, there's something. You don't know what's taking place, but you're hungry. Glory. You're hungry. I heard the Presbyterian brother, I heard the Baptist talking a while ago, a free will Baptist preaching where he can, my fellow brother. There's something in you. Something you never put in there. It's something you couldn't desire. So where's your choice then? It's something you could. couldn't even desire to be in there. It's something that's contrary to your own nature. It's the foreknowledge of God. Now, wait a minute. It's the foreknowledge of God, but it's opposite to me. I didn't even want it there, but it's the foreknowledge of God. Where does this come from? Then the foreknowledge of God is what I wanted to be there. It's the foreknowledge of God against what I even wanted to be there. There's something in you, something that you never put it there. It's something that you couldn't desire to be in there. It's something that's contrary to your own nature. It's the foreknowledge of God taking place. God's word. God, the great God, if you've got eternal life, then the germ of eternal life is in God at the beginning. And you were there. You were in His thinking, your name and all. And He, by foreknowledge, ordains you to see this. And you that was not ordained will never see it. Remember, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the hour is here. Praise be to God. Oh, Lord Jesus, you imagine then this Almighty One, when He began to condemn sin. Moses picks it up and he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters and said, let there be light. But we know from the very beginning of these verses, this is not the beginning. Amen. This is not the beginning of the beginning. It is the beginning after a chaotic something has happened upon the face of the earth. And we see the earth in this chaotic state. But what is God doing? God is writing His predestinated mystery in the stages of the earth. The earth is now in this chaotic state to where something has happened to her. She has fallen. There's no way our Father would have made the earth in that kind of state. But He doesn't take Moses. Hallelujah. He doesn't take Moses all the way back to here. But He starts Moses at a certain spot. And Moses identifies that as the beginning. But it wasn't the beginning from the eternal. It was the beginning of the new beginning, when God is now going to start using the earth again. And God chose to leave this span in darkness for many millennia. He chose to leave this eras of time of however long it was, until the last day, when He said, I'll send to you Elias, and he will restore all things. He won't just restore water baptism and the correct understanding of how to live and dress and walk, but He will bring you back to a state in My mind which has not been uttered since the foundation of the world. He will let you know that you did not start on a certain day. He will let you know it was not your choice. He will let you know I ordained you from the foundation of the world. He will restore your status back to who you are, the eternal quality of the elect. It could not be done in the days of Luther or Wesley or Pentecost, but the restoration is on, my brother. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according, listen to this, by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to, this is the rule, the good pleasure of His will. Now, if it's according to your faith, Paul should have said that. If it's according to your choice, Paul should have said it. But he didn't. Paul was not an Armenian. He was an eternalist. I said he was an eternalist. You see, this wouldn't have affected the first century saints when they read this, because the doctrine of Arminianism was not around. So when they heard this, you imagine their souls are so caught up into the eternal. It was the Father teaching them where they come from. This is why Jesus tells us, those that hear of the Father and are taught of the Father, they are the ones that will come. He is that inside teacher. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 11. In whom also we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of your will. His own will. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You couldn't have desired this. Oh, Brother Ernie, what about these people out here? Grace for them too. Even non-elect are saved by the grace of God. Why? It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, if that's the way he looks at it, then we should look at it the same way. They may not be elect, they may not be bribed, but there shouldn't be anything in you or I that would want anybody to be lost. That's not the way he, oh, I go on to hell, I don't love y'all, know it. That's not the way he looks at them at all. It's not his will that they be lost, but it is his will that you be bribed. Hallelujah to God. It is not his will that they go to hell, but it is his will that you go to heaven, because heaven won't be heaven without you. He's not complete without the gathering of his attributes. Amen. Carol, stand, please. Harry, Karen, Justin, stand please. Now the Babs can't stand because they're homesick. Parkers can't stand, but they're homesick. But I'll speak to them via invisible mode. That my words invisibly are coming across their smartphones or their computers. So they'll hear my voice and my call. So I speak to my family and say this. When it warms up, I'll grill us a pork shoulder before long. And Carol will do some beans that you all like. Karen, maybe you can bring a side. Liz, you can bring a side and some of them famous desserts that you make. Erica, you can bring a side and some bread or whatever more. We'll go out on the back porch. And we'll have a meal. And we'll have some time together. Amen. And some fellowship. Thank you. Now, was I unjust in what I just did? I know I made some of the rest of y'all hungry. Now you'll want to know what that tastes like. Was I unjust in inviting my family to spend intimate time with me? Was I cruel in doing that? I spoke to them directly, but you heard what I had to say. And even though you heard it, you were not invited. But I'll give all the rest of you all a general invitation for the third week in September. We'll be having the Fall Fest. So whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The family is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. To be saved can be saved. Whoever wants to accept him, he will let you come if you want to. But this special invitation is for the elect of God. First of all, I don't have room on my back porch for all y'all. And secondly, if all of you all come, my family won't get no time because they'll do what they always do. They'll back away and give you all the time. So I'm inviting my family for private time. Why would I want to do that? Part of them that I had stand are kin to me family by blood. Part of them by marriage. Hallelujah. Do I love the rest of you? I do. When I'd do anything for you, I would. But I never invited you to my house, did I? Why? These are my family. God could say about Adam, he's my boy. Amen. And God gave him the title deed to the earth. And if Adam would have stayed in that spot, Brother Dow, he would have spoke us into existence. And we would have all had one mother. And our one mother's name would have been Eve. We would have come through her because God gives him the Lamb's Book of Life. And Adam is to speak and call another, 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 another. The prophet of God said Isaiah should have come through Eve. The seeds of God would have somehow or another come through her. And many of these other people would have never lived. Because God would have only invited his family to the back porch. But God knew, hallelujah, he knew. So he wrote another book called the Book of Life. And God's mercy was so great that he wouldn't just call his family to the back porch, but he'd send out an invitation, call it a fall fest if you want. He would send out an invitation and say, you want to come from Canada? You're welcome to come. You want to come from South Carolina? You're welcome to come. There'll be folks out there that ain't even saved and they'll show up. Free food. You're welcome to come. No, we don't drive them off. Can't you see that's the way it is with God? That God loved his family and they are his attributes and he is not complete without them, but he is complete without many of these others. Second Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now what's the structure of this sentence and the way the words are put together? Let me read this to you. It should be observed that the text says, whom he foreknow. Whom is the object of the verb? And there is no qualifying addition. Now look at this. This is, of course, a linguist, a specialist who's taking the words and looking at the words and the meaning of the words. So whenever you look at this, whom is the object of the verb? And the verb, of course, is an action verb. And it's placing it not upon a condition of the recipient. It's not placing it upon the individual to do this and this and this and I'll do this. But the whom is the object of the verb by which Paul, oh my, you believe led by the Holy Ghost, don't you? And so the expression whom he foreknow contains within itself the differentiation which is presupposed. That actually taking this and the way he says it, nothing else needs to be added to make the sentence complete. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Ecclesiastes. Luke 18:7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Colossians 3:12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Not that you walk around and think, boy, I'm something, I'm this, that, and other. No, as the elect of God, this is what we put on. As the elect of God, amen, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after God. In this 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit. And oh, now listen to this, sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, elect. John terms it this way. 2 John 1:1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. Romans chapter 9, verse 10. Not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither of them having done any good or evil. that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that call us. Not of works, but of him that call us. Not of works, but of him that call us. What's he doing? Calling those attributes. So Adam has this personal diary of God. No instructions come with it. Maybe Adam opened it up and looked at it. It didn't make any sense. All it was names. There was no go here, do this, take this, put this screw in this hole, do this, put this tap on the other end. But there was no instructions. There was no instructions with the book. So Adam just takes it. Just lays it aside. What more can you do? Father hadn't fully unveiled the mystery of the revealing of the book. Of course, once Adam fell, then the book went back into the hands of Almighty God. Now we kick in to permissive will, plan B. Now since we're over into plan B, we come under grace, mercy, law, sanctification. So many different things are in plan B. The names are still written in the family diary. And you see, there's really not a problem with getting them out of the book in plan B. Plan A was spoken word. Plan B will be sex birth. Once it moves over into permissive will, every name that is there will be manifested in their own time and in their season. Now they will come down on the earth. They will walk like other mortals. They will look like other mortals. But there will be a divine deposit that will be given by the Almighty God. Something they didn't even desire. Something they didn't even ask for. Oh, but he's making a difference. No, he's not. He's calling his children to the barbecue. They were his children. Come on, I said them's his children. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And there'll be others out there. They'll look like him. They might even be in the same natural genetic family. But they are not his children unless they come from his attributes. So what does he do? Then he allows each of those names to be manifested by sex desire. They will come upon the earth, and with their coming will be that little departure from heaven in the supernatural realm which will follow them down inside their soul. So when they take the breath of life, cries like a baby, looks like a baby, it must be a baby. But with it came a deposit of heaven. They used to have drink bottles years ago, Coke and Pepsi and Dr. Pepper and all. You know, I used to pack them up to a little store at Happy Top, and we'd pick them up alongside the road, and they'd give you a nickel a bottle or 2 cents of a bottle, whatever it was, and they have written on the side of it, many of you have seen it, no deposit, no return. Glory. Well, they charge you for them bottles. They charge you a nickel. So you know what you do? You want to bring them back to get your nickel back. So God put a nickel's worth of eternal life in your representation. God wants that nickel back. He's tight. I mean, God's tight when it comes to eternal life. He watches over that eternal life, and he don't give it out to everywhere. But every one of those that had a deposit, he's calling their names for their marriage supper. Oh, glory. So here comes a Moses, here comes a Jeremiah, here comes an Ezekiel, a Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi. On down through the ages they come. And one day the Logos was made a human. Born of a virgin. When Jesus came out of his mother's womb, and Joseph or the midwife or whoever's there was helped to deliver him, wiping the blood off of him, you imagine, little Jesus. Blood in his eyes. Blood in his hair like you had when you were born. Mother's water broke all around him. Little Jesus. One of them takes him and smacks him. And little Jesus. Wah! Wah! Wah!
Glory to God. It's hard to believe that from the projection of the Almighty, part of that voice was what said, let there be, and there was. Now he's come down to the place to where the attributes, if he's here, if he was there in eternity, and the attributes were in him, if he's here, where are those attributes? They're in him. Paul says the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God. What a strange word that he uses for purpose. Prothesis. Showbread. A setting forth of a thing. Placing of it in view. The showbread, the 12 loaves of wheaten bread corresponding to the number of the tribes of Israel. So this is the purpose of God? That the purpose of God, according to election, the setting forth, the showing of something? What's it showing? The bread. The bread. Glory. You see, God does not elect by foreseen choice or foreseen works. He elects by sovereign decree. Paul did not say that God saw that Jacob would want the birthright. So therefore he predestinated Jacob. Because Jacob won the birthright. Now those of you that are still strict Arminians, whenever you read the scripture, that's what you read into it. Because that's what your tradition leads you to believe. But you're adding to the word of God when you do it. You say, Brother Donnie, is this important? I kind of believe it is important. Notice in Romans 11:5, even so then at the present time, there is also a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 6, and if it by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies, speaking of Israel, for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. God wants us to know our election. Is this important for us to know our election and know it right? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election. Now, Peter uses a little different Greek word. Ekologe. Chosen. The act of picking out. Choosing. Use of the act of God's free will. By which before the foundation of the world, he decreed his blessings to certain persons. And the decree made from choice by which he determined to bless certain persons through Christ by grace. And I said, glory to God, because I just happened to be one of them certain persons. Now you imagine Peter telling them, you have to make your calling and your election sure. Look at the word sure. Steadfast, firm, a force, and stable. But you look at it, if you're thinking, well, I chose this, and I wanted this, and I wanted that, and I wanted something else. You're like a roller coaster. You're up and down and up and down. But if you make your calling and your election sure, there's only one sure place it can be. That's in God. 2 Timothy 1:9 again, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own shewbread. And grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I made up my mind. Glory to God. I went down there and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar. No, look around, you old stubborn bull. The grace of God got a hold of your horns. The grace of God got a hold of you. You didn't want God. You love sucking on cigarettes. You love listening to rock and roll. You love that old beer and whiskey and gin and all that stuff. But something got a hold of you. Something got a hold of you. What was it? It was time for that attribute to start manifesting itself. That same logos that said, let there be, begin to move on your heart down in Louisiana or Kentucky, wherever it was, and said, let this attribute come to life. Let this attribute come for us. James chapter 1 verse 18. I feel sorry for the devil about right now. Paul saying, go on back down to hell, you coward. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Now where's your will mixed in with it? Of his own will plus my grandpa plus my grandma. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. But Brother Donnie, that sounds so unfair. And what are you going to say after church today when your children ask you if you had their permission, if they gave you your permission to bring them into the earth? Amen. How many of you gave permission to your mother and father to be born? What? You mean to tell me your mother and father brought you into this hell on earth and didn't even ask you? Why? Because they wanted a family. And you were in them. Glory to God. Can you go a little farther? If you were in his thinking at the beginning, if you've got eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life, and eternal life had no beginning, and it has no ending. So if you have eternal life, you were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but him. Again, the word eternal never did begin, neither can it end. And you're an attribute of God's thinking before the world was ever created. That's the only way you can have eternal life. And that life that he has was thinking of you, is in you now. The attribute caught up with you. Again, he says, remember, if you was ever in God's thinking, you'll always be there. And if you've got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute he has thought of this for this age. He didn't think about me in the days of Luther and the days of Pentecost. He thought about me in this age. I am his thought. Don't you understand? This is why we so bind together to the message of the hour. Others, they come to it and leave and come and go and do whatever. That's not who you are. Your thought of this age lines up with Malachi 4 for this age. Well, people make fun of it. Let them ridicule. Let them find all the mistakes, and what do they want to do? It'll never move you at all. The bride's moving right on, plowing right straight ahead, because that's who we are. Oh, my. His thought for this age, if not, there's only one eternal life and it's always existed. And you in his mind existed before there was a world. Amen. That's the reason he said he chose you. Oh, so that was the reason. Before the foundation of the world, it isn't what we think, what somebody else thinks. It's what God, eternal, you always was, see, in his thinking. Now, can you imagine? I want you to notice this in 1964, these quotes that we read. Dallas, Texas, which is down number W.V. Grant. Greater than Solomon's here, Dallas, Texas. We would see Jesus, Denham Springs, Louisiana. I preached in Denham Springs, Louisiana many times. Hardly nobody there believed the message. As far as I know yet, there still ain't nobody there. I met a man several years ago, and I was in Pentecost, and he came to my meetings, and once we came to the message, I started sending him tapes for years and years, and I never really hear much more about the man after several years, lost contact with him. Here's the prophet speaking about this. Can you imagine the Pentecostals sitting there trying to swallow this? All of them Armenians. But I'm so glad he said it anyhow. He might not have been saying it so much from them, but God knew before the foundation of the world, I'd be preaching this on March 2016, and God knew it blessed some of your hearts, so he had the prophet to say it. Glory to God. Oh, my. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Think of it, friends. There's only one form of eternal life, and if you've got eternal life, then you yourself was in God's thinking before the world was ever created. You're an attribute of his thinking. It's not God picking this mortal and that mortal. It's God picking up his kids to the back porch. God inviting his family to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. And God's mercy is so great. He extends the invitation for the rest of them. Y'all want to come and live outside the city? Come on. You want to live over here and live over there? Come on. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I remember, notice this, he said, possessing the gate. Remember, if you was ever in God's thoughts, you'll never be with God. How many knows he was a redeemer? Congregation says amen. They'll, anything that is redeemed, come back to where it fell from. So it came to redeem us. How could we? Was it one time, didn't have to be redeemed? Oh my Lord. At one time, we didn't have to be redeemed? Didn't have to be redeemed, but we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. It shows the real Christian is an attribute of God's thinking before there was a world or a star or air or anything else. It's eternal, and he come to redeem us back. It's God's thought spoken to a word, made manifest, and brought back to his thought. See if I can find a place to close here momentarily. Oh, this future home, you talking about a message. If you ain't listened to it in a while, you ought to. If you got eternal life, there's only one form, and that's God. And you are an expressed attribute. When the word moved from the mind of the eternal, and with it passed every name in the book of life, the Lamb's diary. So when he created himself a form or a substance, he passed these names on with what would be the Redeemer. You were there. Not like a blueprint. But as far as he was concerned, he could touch you. He could feel you. You were that real. If you're not, you're not going to be there anyhow. No man can come to me except the Father's draw him, see? Passes away. All these old things. But these things don't, so it speaks of eternity. The Holy Ghost is eternal. Then you are in eternity. Where you was all the time. Oh, so that would be similar to Jesus saying, no man hath ascended up to heaven save he which is in heaven, the Son of Man which is on the earth, which is now in heaven. And they're looking around and saying, what in the world is he talking about? The Son of Man. No man can ascend up to heaven save he which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He's crazy. The guy's a nut. He's saying he's in heaven. He's standing right here. I'm saying you're in eternity right now, and you might be fighting the worst battles you ever fought in time, but that's only in time. Before long, the hand of time is going to move over to the right second, and guess what? Time will disappear as far as you're concerned. Oh, glory! Then you will move back into that attribute of the eternal. No more sickness, no more pain, no more worry. You have been burst back into eternity in body and soul and theophany.
Glory.
Then you are in eternity where you was all the time. But you've just recognized what happened. See, you were made for an eternal purpose. Because you was the manifestation of an attribute that was in God. That thought of you and expressed you and made an earth to take you out of. Don't you understand? God is male. But God needed a female. God needed a womb to catch his seeds. So God made one and called her name Earth. Lord God. So the earth is divine nature's counterpart in an earthly realm. You must have a womb in order to receive these words of life. Amen. Glory to God. So what does he do? He makes an earth. He makes an earth to take you out of your body. And then what does he do? He condescends himself and he said, I think I'll take me a body out of that earth too. So he takes his own body, the Lord Jesus, out of the earth and he raises it up and glorifies it. And that's what we will see him in for eternity, because his body come from the same mother yours come from. Why? Because you and him had the same daddy and you got the same mama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You come from the eternal and your bodies come from Mother Earth. Listen, children, I'm nearly beside myself. Listen. Heavens and earth have met. God and man is reconciled. A restored Eden has begun. Don't you understand? We're already on our way back. Just like all the curse of sin is gone when the Holy Ghost accepts you. See, you don't accept it. It accepts you. Because it's God's attribute. See, it's the Holy Ghost means God's Spirit. It's the attribute. The thought of God has accepted you because you were ordained for that purpose. Yet you was born in sin, but God had that attribute. You understand? You're born in sin, but God had that attribute. And here you're expressed yourself on earth and he comes down and gets you. And see, you're back here. Here's where you belong. Sin has lost its power. That's right. The desire of sin is gone from your heart. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you are a restored person. And you are these other parts that's drawn out of the earth. You see, the earth, you're a part of the earth, your body. Your soul is a part of God. An attribute of God displayed here on earth in a body. Your soul come into the earth. As your seed come into the earth. Glory. Hallelujah. Now the soul is redeemed because it was in sin. It wasn't sin, but it was in it. Glory. So God come down by a process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and redeemed your soul. Let me close. Now notice, so the redeemed shall walk in the light. We sing now, we'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. There's something in us calling out. It's passed from death into life. It's because that's waiting, see? That's what, that attribute. That's what we feel. Do you understand? That's something that you're feeling. That's what it is. It's that attribute. It was that which was in the eternal. It's pulling you, tugging you, warning you when you do wrong. Eternal life. You always was. See, you have eternal life and there's only one form and that's God, and you were his attribute. He thought of you and knowed you before the foundation of the world in his mind. Praise God. So what are we doing? We're just waiting for the last few members of the family to come to the barbecue. Praise God.
God don't ask you to bring a side dish or a dessert. What he asks you to do is bring your body. So what happens? If you have died and entered into the theophany, the redeemed body comes to the earth. Glory. Or the theophany comes to the earth. You take the redeemed body to meet the theophany. Don't worry about green beans and taters. But you've been quickened. The attribute in you will force your body to be changed at the rapture. And you, the attribute, will take your redeemed body to meet the theophany. And the theophany will step inside of you. And you will be as you should have been in the beginning. Soul, theophany, glorified body. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Glory to God. The three true attributes of you merged into together eternity. Because God and man has come together. Heaven and earth have kissed. And they fell in love and got married. And what is the offshoot of the heavenly and the earthly getting married? It's a sermon title called The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride. Don't you love him, children? Then what will that pyramid city be? The attribute with his attributes. What will be outside the city? That great, great merciful attribute of love, expanding and giving his grace to millions of mortals who would have never been born or lived. To me, this is the greatest display of grace that you could ever understand. Arminianism doesn't display the grace of God nothing like real, true scriptural grace does. Praise God. He's not complete without you. You know, we have family dinners up at the house. Maybe Lance has to work and he can't be there. Maybe Scotty has to work or one of the girls or something or other. We have dinners. Maybe Harry can come. Last time we had one, Karen couldn't come. She had some appointments she couldn't get out of. And we sit there and we eat and we talk and we say, you know, it just ain't the same. Wish Karen would have been able to make it. Wish Lance had been able to be here. Why? Part of your family. But you see, one day when that great big table is spread, we won't look down the table. Oh, there's an empty chair. There's another. There is no empty chairs. That place. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm sorry I messed up this sermon today. I don't know what happened to me. I just got so tore up, Lord. I hope you can take something out of it and help them. I didn't mean to get so tore up the first 30 minutes or whatever it was. It's just like I stepped into something, Lord. May you help us today, Father. Forgive my mistakes and may you be able to take your word and speak to their hearts today. Papa, I sure don't have all the answers and understand it all. But all I know is you are so great and so wonderful. And I believe with all of my soul, I am one of those attributes. Glory to God. I'm just so happy you invited me to come. If there's one here today, Lord, that's not ready, maybe they feel that little pull and that little tug. They don't know how blessed they are to feel that little tug. Maybe it's that little attribute trying to declare itself. Maybe there's one or two or many that stream in the service today or go back and hear it. Lord Jesus, may you get all your children. We know you will. You'll call them all. You're inviting them to the family dinner. Glory. There won't be one of us missing, Lord. Then I think of your grace, how loving you are. No doubt millions times millions and maybe even billions will live outside the city and populate the earth. We'll be in perfect peace. They'll never walk in that city and feel humiliated and ashamed because they're not bride. Because they'll see it more clearly than two. They'll realize it was your grace that allowed them to be there. And the bride, when she lives in her city there, she won't walk around arrogant and proud. Because we will also look back and think and say, as the prophet said, that we would gather around there and say, "Oh, Papa, I was lost, and you found me. Papa, I walked down there in darkness for years, and that hog pen of sin. But one day, I came to myself. Something moved on my heart. Something touched me. Now I know what that something was. It was that attribute trying to declare itself. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I don't want to wait till the end to praise and worship you, Lord. I want to praise you right here this morning. I want to let you know how grateful I am. I was lost, and you found me. I was blind, and you opened my eyes and let me see, Papa. Right here this morning, you've let me see a little bit more clearly. I thank you, Papa. Can we just worship him a little bit, children? Oh, hallelujah. Each of us today, with that recognition that have been accepted by the Lord, we ought to be like that prodigal. Oh, my. We ought to walk back to Father and say, "Father, I'm certainly not worthy of you. I'm not worthy." But you know what? His father never acknowledged that at all. He said, "Bring the robe, kill the fatted calf. Where's the ring? Bring the shoes." Hallelujah. My boy has come back. My boy has come back. Hallelujah. Oh, what will it be, friends, when the fatted calf, so to speak, is killed and we sit down at that great marriage supper of the Lamb? Thank you, Jesus. Sing it for us, Harry. Let's just worship together just a little bit before we go.
Papa God, you saved me.
Lord God.
My whole life you forgave me.
Lord Jesus,
you cleansed and made me whole.
You did, Lord.
Touch my heart, change my soul.
Yes, you did, Lord.
Now I know I
yes.
need you
yes.
so.
We do, Lord.
Father God.
Let's sing and worship him together.
Papa God,
Papa,
you
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. In unison, can we just raise our hands and close our eyes? Adults, children, all of us together that have a conscience, even a perception ability to be able to know to raise our hands. Let's raise our hands in His presence. The great eternal is right here with us today. The great eternal that thought of you before there was ever a moon or a star or a universe. Oh, how He must be thrilled today to see many of those attributes on the earth today that are being expressed in human form. Glory to God. Knowing you are only one breath away from heaven and earth kissing in your life. And you will take your body to be kissed by heaven in a change. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then we shall see Him as He is. Glory to God. Blessed Lord God, we magnify Your name. Who are we that You would allow us, O God, to be partakers of such grace and mercy? What is man that Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that Thou visitest him? Thou crownest him with glory, madest him lower than the angels. But yet, You did not die for the angels. You died for us. We bless You. We magnify You. Thank You for calling me to the family supper, Lord God. I would have been certainly, even unworthy of the call on the outside of the city. But to be a family member, a member of the royal family. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord God. I bless You, Jehovah. I bless You, Adonai. I bless You, my Lord Jesus. The mighty God, the everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Praise Your holy name, Lord God. Let's just worship Him. I know this is strange. I know it's unusual, but let's just worship Him. Just let Him walk up and down these aisles here and just minister to your heart. You minister back to Him. Let the eternal make your election sure to you this morning. Glory to God. May the eternal make it so sure to you. Glory to God, that the fear of you missing the rapture will leave you right here in this building today, and you'll never have it another day in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We worship You, mighty God. We worship You, mighty God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, make Yourself known among us, Lord. We're not looking for screaming and hollering and shouting, and we'll accept that. That comes with it, but oh Lord, make Yourself known. That still small voice that pulls the darkness back away from the heart and whispers, as Brother Branham says it so beautifully when he talks about the master of the violin. And the master picked it up and began to stroke across it. And he said, may the master speak today and say, Child of mine, you were mine before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah to God. Oh, Master, stroke across each of our heartstrings today. Bring the tune of foreknowledge and election and predestination so beautifully together as only You can do, Lord. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank You, Lord. Hey, sing something else. Hey, let's just worship Him while this awesome presence is in this place. How many knows He's awesome? Oh, the presence of our Almighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place. our precious Father. Glory to God. If it's this good, now we're just actually getting warmed up. This is kind of a wedding supper snack as it was. If it's this good now, what's it going to be when we're all sat down at the table that day together? Praise God. Let's just worship Him just a little before we go. Oh, glory to God.
I'm going home.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I'm going soon.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this just a little and I'll let you go, I promise.
I belong.
Let's sing it together now.
I've always been stranger here, but now I'm going.
Praise God. Let's sing it together. Everybody now just make love to Jesus.
I'm going home.
Come to the close of this service. We ask you, Lord, that your presence would go with each of us. May there not be a one of us missing that day, Lord. Keep us by your grace. Keep us in Christ Jesus. Watch over the people as they drive. Keep them, I pray, Father, from the evils of the day till we can all be gathered, not to a barbecue, but to a supper. Praise God, when the Lamb will stand and walk down among us, and for the last time human tears will be excreted from our eyes, they'll be wiped away. We love you, Lord Jesus. Go with your people now, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. We'll sing it as we go. Service here Wednesday night, if you can come.
I'm going home. I'm going soon.
By grace, I'm going where see, I've always been a misfit and a stranger here. But now I'm going home. Amen. I'm going home. I'm going soon.
I'm going where I belong. I've always been
it's been.